Welcome back to Sitting Courtside, guys. Episode 30. Of course, it's your boy Jerry D here.
And it's your boy Dante. We made it to episode 30, the big 3-0. Shout out to you, Del Curry. Legend. Yep. One of the best shooters of all time. The only Curry that we have to talk about.
Oh, whoa. Seth Curry.
Of course. Career 40 plus percent 3-point shooter for his career. How can you not talk about him? How can I forget about him? Yeah, we're back.
Go ahead.
We're back. Another week, another episode, ready to talk some basketball. I've been doing this last few episodes, so I'm going to do it again. If you are an audio-only listener, thank you for listening. Please give us a 5-star review. Follow us, like us, on whatever platform you listen to us on. Look at all these plugs. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, put in the comments. You know, throughout this conversation, you have something you want to input, something you want to add in, put in the comments. Check out all of our other videos on this channel, our short gamified content, all that good stuff. Get that out of the way. Bing, bing, bop. Jerry, how are you doing this week?
Good, man. I got to say it every time you do it, doing these plugins early, just, I guess it kills two birds with one stone. We get to roll into our topics. Tell everybody where they can hear us and see us at, see our pretty faces, and we just get to keep rolling. So I'm good though, man. How are you? Everything's cool.
Everything's smooth. March Madness is starting in 5 seconds, actually. This timer goes, the first game of March Madness is tipping off. So happy March Madness to everyone who celebrates. Good luck to all your brackets, to all your bets. Wishing you nothing but the best. I'm good. I'm ready to talk some NBA basketball.
Oh, yeah.
We are sitting courtside covering the NBA, you know, as the tournament goes on, we'll keep you guys updated. We'll, you know, talk about some stuff here and there, but I say we jump into some NBA.
Absolutely, man. And what better way to start than with the NBA's newest podcast on the block with LeBron James and JJ Redick. A very odd combination, probably what most people think, but it's one of the best minds in basketball currently still playing the game today in year 21, along with one of the better minds that was one of the best shooters of all time, you know, before this guy named Steph and all these other people popped up out of nowhere. But still, JJ Redick, a brilliant mind, old man of the three podcast, as well as an ESPN analyst, a personality on the network. They're combining their minds for Mind the Game podcast, which is supposed to just really break down the game of basketball to you. It's not going to be those tired debate shows that you see, or it's not going to be something where they just keep up with the game daily, which they will, obviously. They're both heavily involved in the NBA. But they're actually going to break down some plays. And after watching the first episode, it was amazing. I got to learn some new actions, some new schemes. Even if I already knew what it was, I got to see it illustrated and them kind of break it down like how a coach probably would. So pretty dope. But just what are your first overall thoughts about this combo of JJ and LeBron?
Yeah, so I'll get it out of the way first. I haven't seen the first episode yet. I do plan on it. And what I like and what I respect about it is that it's not one of those like 2-hour long podcast episodes. What was it, 45, 50 minutes, something like
45
that?
45 to an hour is what they're trying to stick to for every
perfect episode. I think that's the perfect length. Yeah, I think initially when I saw the announcement, it's like you see LeBron and JJ, and it's like, it's like one of these guys, like, you know, I didn't know these guys were friends, like kind of like, you know, obviously they're in the basketball fraternity, the NBA fraternity. Yeah. Like, of course, they know each other, like whatever. But absolutely. It was very like kind of like, oh, JJ Redick and LeBron James. Then you think about it, you know, as confusing it might be as first as for the combination of guys, it makes total sense. I mean, like you said it. I mean, LeBron James, one of the greatest basketball minds, one of the greatest basketball IQs ever, combined with JJ Redick, who I truly do respect as an analyst, as a commentator. And I've said, I've always said this. I have a much bigger respect. Not that I don't respect people that aren't like this, but analysts and people that have played this game, that have been a part of the NBA culture and have been in those locker rooms and have been on the court, I respect their opinion a lot more than someone compared to like a Stephen A. I'm just using him as an example because he's obviously like everyone knows Stephen A, but he wasn't a professional player, right? Not that I don't have respect for Stephen A or I think that his opinion is invalid, whatnot. I just respect and would probably be more open to listening to a former player break something down, if that makes sense.
It holds more weight coming from somebody who put in even 5 years into the game, or no matter what it was, than somebody like Stephen A. Again, no disrespect to him, that, you know, his basketball career extends to the collegiate level and that's it.
Right. And yeah, it's no disrespect to him whatsoever. It's just facts are facts. It's like, these guys have been on there. They know, like, they know what they're talking about. Not that Stephen A. doesn't, but you know what I mean? Back to the podcast. Yeah, right. Back to the podcast. What I like about this is it's like a breakdown, right? They're breaking all these different things down, these plays, these schemes, team, whatever it may be. I think this is going to give fans, players, anyone alike, just a whole new insight to the game of basketball. And these are probably the two best guys that you could probably put together for something like this. I think, like I said, I haven't seen it yet. I do plan on watching. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen some clips and stuff. But it seems like they both just have such a just profound love and respect for the game of basketball that whether or not they're like truly best friends or not off the court, their chemistry is going to mesh so well. And I honestly am very excited to listen to this podcast and follow along with it, because this is a podcast that, like, I listen to podcasts and stuff. There's not many that, like, oh, a new episode comes out, I'm listening to it right away or anything like that. I'm usually more like, I'll see clips on Twitter or TikTok or whatever, and, you know, I'll follow along that way. This podcast, I definitely want to keep up with, because I think I'm going to learn a lot. Everyone's going to learn a lot. And just hearing those two talk about basketball is going to be a beautiful thing. So although I have listened to it, I can't wait. I think it's going to be a nice, refreshing. It's going to be different from any basketball podcast that we have right now. So I think it's going to be very refreshing to be able to listen to this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think there's anything really much else to add to that, to be honest. Like, everything that they go into, when you actually do watch the episode, you're going to be hooked. And, like, literally, JJ took the first 7 minutes or so just to discuss actions, just to discuss, like, what they're going to probably talk about during the podcast and how it's going to be. But he's giving you a preview into episode one, really just to mostly talk about what this flex action is, what it means when we call horns, and all this other stuff just in the first 7 minutes. And I don't know about everybody else that's going to be listening and watching, but I'm like, wow, I appreciate you just telling me with a clipboard at that, telling me exactly what it is that you guys are talking about when they're talking about thumb downs and all that stuff. It's like, okay, he went out his way to tell me everything. That way, when I actually go into, it's like a school assignment. They make you watch this movie in the beginning of the class, and it's like, yeah, this is what's going to be in it. You have to have your little worksheet and fill out things as you go. You could possibly do that with this Mind the Game podcast. So big shout out to JJ Redick and LeBron for doing this. Plus, we've been seeing LeBron on for years now doing the shop and, like, you know, other little projects. So we got a little insight into, like, how in-depth it can go. But obviously, it's not a basketball show. The shop isn't. It's more of a culture show. Sure. Shed light on everybody else, though. To hear Bron just talk about basketball like a nerd that we all know he is, it's amazing.
I say this, not saying, like, oh, we're getting towards the end or nothing like that. But, like, I think we're going to start seeing LeBron starting to transition into that news, like, podcasting video world and stuff like that. Obviously, there are NBA players like Pat Bev, Paul George, who are still, like, you know, younger than LeBron and do this stuff currently. But I think this is our first taste of, like, this is what LeBron's going to be like when he's done and he's retired and stuff, which I'm very excited about. I want him to play for another 5 years. You know, I love seeing him on the court. But I think this side of LeBron, hearing, you know, his side of things, him breaking down the game, stories, even whatever, there's not many players in history that people would be like, I need to tune in to watch this. LeBron is one of those guys. So getting his insight on things is going to be incredible. I can't wait to listen to the first episode. I'll probably do it after this, to be honest with you. I'll probably do it while I'm doing the setting up some stuff when I go to the gym, 100%.
It's kind of similar to how Kobe, when he retired, started doing detail.
Yeah, you know, me and my friend were talking about this. It's crazy because I think Kobe would have been the perfect. I think he would have been an unbelievable analyst podcaster, like the perfect guy to have a podcast telling stories, breaking down the game. That would have been must listen to, must see as well.
You know, to kind of move within this podcast, like, one of his topics that I want to address here is that He mentioned that Steph Curry and Allen Iverson were two of the most influential players that this game has ever seen. And it's kind of caused some buzz around the social media world, which is, you know, this is exactly that's why you're not
naturally.
It should be MJ. Or
naturally.
Like, honestly, it's just Steph. Like, I don't know.
I think Allen Iverson changed the game. And that's why Michael Jordan's the GOAT, LeBron. Yeah, exactly. That's why he's the GOAT. Get out of here.
And he would never say that about his Isaiah Thomas or Charles Barkley and whatever. But
yeah,
that's probably one of the biggest topics that came out of it. Just, I guess the question here is, do you think he's right? Do you think those are the two biggest influential basketball players over the last, over the span of the game to come through the NBA?
I think both of those guys belong in the conversation. I mean, I think of Kobe Bryant is the first name that comes to my mind. Michael Jordan, of course, and LeBron James. He's going to be humble. He's not going to throw himself out there. I think those five are probably the most influential players. I mean, Allen Iverson with his style, his look and everything like that. Steph Curry with his shooting. I don't understand why people have an issue with him saying Steph, because he did change the game of shoot. Like, obviously, people were shooting threes before him, but they weren't shooting threes like him. And he changed the course of NBA history with how people shoot nowadays. How people shoot the way they do now because of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Kobe, MJ, I think that goes without being said. Just their mentalities, the way they led by example. Nowadays, everyone wants to be like them. Like, growing up, you wanted to be like Kobe or MJ. And LeBron is starting to, you know, he's going to be that for this generation and whatnot. So I don't disagree with it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's subjective. It's his opinion. He's been playing this for 21 years. I'm not going to argue with the guy, right? He's seen it all. So I'm not going to be like, you're wrong, LeBron. This guy is more influential than that. Yeah. I can have an opinion on it, as will you, as will everyone. But yeah, I mean, when I saw him mention those two guys, there wasn't any part of me that was like, I don't know about that. Like, yeah, I do believe those two are two of the most influential players, and belong in the conversation.
I think it's like this for me. Like, I have two like major points. I just heard a cat. But number one.
Yeah, I'm gonna while you're talking, I'm gonna keep trying to mute my mic so you don't hear.
But number one, though, is just, what number does LeBron James wear again?
His idols, Michael Jordan.
Yeah. You know, Michael Jordan's his idol. And I think not saying MJ is kind of odd if you're LeBron, because he literally has been caught in other interviews or podcasts or whatever. He's been
fangirling over him when he met him for the first time. We've all seen that clip.
It's MJ. Like, we all know what MJ means, but I think LeBron said AI or Steph, because I think for the average man, those are probably closer in like reachability. Obviously, those two are supremely skilled. They're Hall of Famers.
Yes.
MVPs. Obviously, Steph's a champion. It's not like we can do that just.
But not everyone can be 6 foot six, 6 foot eight. You know what I mean? Yeah.
We can't levitate through the air like MJ. Or we can't be 6'8", 250, running down the court like a freight train.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in my head, that's what makes the most sense on why he didn't say
AI. I get that perspective. Yeah, no, that I understand that for sure.
Because AI is probably my height or probably shorter. And Steph Curry's 6'2", 6'3". Like, that's maybe an inch or two taller than I am. It's more obtainable to reach that kind of level with an excessive amount of training, obviously. Now, not everybody's built that way. To be a professional athlete is a whole different ballgame, or else we'd all be in the NBA or NFL making millions.
Of course.
But maybe that's the only reason why LeBron pinned those two guys. Like, hey, AI came in and literally changed the culture, changed the dress code, made braids cool, arm sleeves cool, tattoos cool. While Steph came in and, like you said, reshaped how teams want to play offense today by hoisting up 40-plus threes a game. That's just how the game is played today. Or the fact that 19-point leads with seven minutes left in a game is not safe anymore. While back in the day, they talk about this in the podcast. Well, back in the day, they sub guys out. Like, well,
I did see this. I did see this. I did see this clip. Yeah, 100%. And I honestly, I agree. It's like, you see how Allen Iverson changed the culture and stuff like that, being 6 feet tall and whatnot. That's something that, and again, you said, like, these guys are highly skilled. They train. They're like put so many days, hours into their craft and stuff like that. But it's attainable. more so compared to, you can't just be 6'8 and have this God-given ability.
Natural gifts.
It's just that's impossible. But it is more possible to be in the sense of like an Allen Iverson or Steph Curry, where you fucking just are I'm shooting a million threes, and you know, whatever. Again, you have the skill component as well, but it's more attainable. It's more believable to gravitate and want to be like someone like Steph or Allen Iverson than Kobe or Jordan or LeBron, any of those guys.
Yeah, but you know, we spent so much time on this. We could talk about this all day.
Let's move on to the next thing. Actually, this is a great segue because we want to talk about guys like these shorter guys that are attainable, that are, you can look at and be like, I can be like this guy. Like, if he can do it, I can do it type of thing. And exactly. Isaiah Thomas, I think, is like the pure definition of hard work pays off. Never gave up on, you know, chasing that NBA dream of getting back into the NBA. As we all know, Isaiah Thomas recently signed a 10-day contract with the Phoenix Suns after he has been bouncing around, kind of, you know, in G League teams. Did he play for China or somewhere for a little bit, maybe, over the last few years? Yeah,
honestly, I couldn't tell you. All I do know, it's been over 4,000 days.
It's been a while.
Touched an NBA court.
So. It's been a while, and, you know, he really, I mean, I follow him on Twitter and stuff like that. Like, every day I see him constantly tweeting about how, you know, how hard he's working, constantly saying, like, how he's waiting on his opportunity. He's, like, staying ready for his call and stuff like that. Got signed to the G League not too long ago. Was tearing it up, averaging over 30 points a game. Phoenix gives him an opportunity. So he played his first game, only played 2 minutes, one shot attempt, which is not surprising. That's how it's going to go. He's a veteran on a 10-day. Like, they have their rotation. They have their roster. Like, they're not going to change it up too much for Isaiah Thomas. But, yeah, after one performance, we've kind of talked about this before. We talked about this last week with him signing the 10-day, or him being in the G League and kind of talking about teams that need veterans and stuff like that. Do you think, you know, despite his performance game one, either he'll get a second 10-day, or two, do you see him remaining on the permanent roster for the rest of the season? Obviously the Suns are a little banged up right now, being the reason why they brought him in. But do you think he's someone that's worth keeping around for the Suns, you know, pushing into the playoffs, having that extra veteran? What are your thoughts there?
I think he should definitely remain on the roster. Do I think he will be after Frank Vogel's comments about he won't be in the rotation, possibly, when we're healthy? But his impact is real. Like, it's a legit thing that having more veterans in the locker room is better for everybody on the team. Like, as good as Kevin Durant is, and as good as Bradley Beal and Book are, having another mind in the building that was also a number one option at one point, and will also finish top five in MVP voting at one point, is nothing but a benefit. Like, I think about his time here in Charlotte. And yes, we didn't get to the postseason, but with him in the building, I believe the team was about 5 or 6 games over 500 when he did play. I think they were like 12-5 or whatever it was. Now, it's the Hornets. What's the big deal? But if you saw how the season was going before he got here,
yeah,
it was nothing short. It was
lifeless.
Yes, it was tumultuous. It was an up and down roller coaster season. I didn't really know how to feel about Isaiah Thomas coming here originally, until you talk to the players, you talk to the coaching staff, and there's
everyone loves him.
No remarks. Yeah.
Everyone, no one has a bad thing to say about him.
Even Kevin Durant, after the game against the Sixers, I believe they played yesterday, went out and said, like, how big time he is, how inspirational his story is for Hooper.
His hard working rubs off on people and stuff like that. Absolutely.
So just imagine keeping him in the building for the rest of the postseason, even if he doesn't play. He doesn't have to play. Yeah, I'm not saying he's of this type of caliber, but think about what Udonis Haslem did for the Miami Heat.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Have another strong veteran on the team that's been there, done that. No, he's not a champion, but he has minutes on his body. He has
experience.
Yeah, like, you know what you're getting out of this guy, and it's just another mind to go to if you're KD, Book, Beal, even Frank Vogel. If you want to pick his brain, he's available. You have him in your locker room. So I hope they sign him through the rest of the season, but I honestly just don't think they will, because Vogel's comments weren't really too reassuring for me.
Yeah, Vogel saying that he won't have a spot in the rotation when everyone's healthy definitely is discouraging, and also kind of like, I feel like that's kind of a a shitty thing to say about a player that you just brought on to the team. But that's besides the point.
It's real, though.
Yeah, he's real. He's being honest. Yeah, do I think that they'll do it? I don't know. Should they do it? Yes. And you said it. You brought up the perfect example with Udonis Haslem. I think having a veteran on the team that doesn't need to play any minutes is just as important as someone that you could have at the end of the bench that could give you 5 minutes a night, maybe. It's like when you weigh out the options, like what's more valuable, sometimes it's more valuable to have that veteran in there that has been there, that has done that, that can give you words of wisdom to the young guys. Udonis Haslem was sitting on the end of the bench for what, 3-4 years? There wasn't even stepping into like blowouts and like maybe starting one game at the end of the year. He was barely playing. But guess what? Everyone loved him. He was such an essential part of that Heat locker room and all these young guys that come in, and also maintaining that Heat culture, because he was there during the Dwayne Wade, like early Dwayne Wade days. He was there the LeBron days. He was there for everything. So it's like he's been there every step of the way. He wants to continue the culture. And he got his number retired for all of it too. Is he someone that deserved to get the number retired for on the court? Maybe not. But you know what? His impact for that organization was monumental. So he did deserve it. And I think teams really would benefit, especially young teams, really would benefit from having these veteran players. And I think the Suns should hold on to Isaiah Thomas. I've been saying I would love the Celtics to bring back Isaiah Thomas for a playoff run. Again, not even play him, just to have him around, because I know the players love him, the fans love him. In my opinion, any team that ends up with him, I think they have a good one. I wish nothing but the best for Isaiah Thomas. I hope he stays on, but hopefully this isn't the end of his NBA journey. Hopefully that this is just like, you know, going to continue. It's going to roll into maybe he gets onto another team, whatever it may be. But it's awesome to see him get back to where he is right now.
Yeah, man. I don't think there's anything else to even add on that. Like we both
love. Should have worn my Isaiah jersey for this episode. I have it in the closet. I have to find it somewhere, but it's somewhere in there.
It does my heart some good to know that hard work really does still pay off, because there's a lot of stars that have been blackballed out of this NBA, like John Wall or DeMarcus Cousins or Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard. We can go on.
The list goes on. Yeah, we can go. We can spend some time.
Getting at least one of them in is amazing, but enough about that. You did mention his impact on a young team, or what he could have on a young team. Let's talk about a young team that most probably wrote off after their star player got hurt, and the Houston Rockets.
We might not have a problem right now. Yeah, we thought we had a problem, but
if anything, it's a good problem for them, but it's a problem for the rest of the league, because they're only 3 games out of the 10th spot, which is held by the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers, who they have the same exact record as. The Houston Rockets are 3 games out. And let me tell you something. They won 6 straight games from March 8th to March 19th, which is crazy. And I'll read off the rest of the playoff teams that they play in their schedule, which includes the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Dallas Mavericks twice, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Golden State Warriors, which would be a huge game, and the LA Clippers to round it out. So I'll let you kind of take the stage here first. Just what are your thoughts about the Rockets? Because Şengün got hurt. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, wow, they're about to plummet. But Jalen Green stepping up. Amen Thompson's looking better now, finding his shot. And his offense is coming together late in the season. Like, talk to me about the Rockets. What are we thinking?
I think someone that needs to be credited to a lot for their success is obviously Jalen Green. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I know the last 3-4 games, he has been on an absolute tear. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you can say has a chip on his shoulder because he was drafted so high a few years ago, like going to be the face of the franchise, everything centered around him. Şengün kind of comes in and, you know, now it's like, this is his team. Like, this is someone that we're going to be building around. Now that Şengün's out, Jalen Green. Well, we have some ads playing in the background, but with Şengün being out, I think this was the perfect opportunity for Jalen Green to, you know, all eyes are on him. Like, how is he going to lead the way? Can he lead a team? And right now, he's shown that he can at a very young age, too. So I've been very impressed with what Jalen Green's been doing.
Yeah, like, before you were rudely interrupted by those ads. I was trying to find Jalen Green.
How dare you?
But now, yeah, like you mentioned, he's just been on a tear. How about the last 5 games here? 42 points, 26 against Cleveland, and 37 against Washington in 37 minutes. So, you know, like the one thing that I think earlier in this podcast we mentioned, I'm not really too enthralled with Jalen Green's game, but one thing we do know about him is that he can fill it up. He is a professional scorer. That's one thing that I'll never take away from him. So
he was the second overall pick for a reason.
Yeah, and he still feels like he should have been number one over a guy like Cade Cunningham, and I get it. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be the face of the franchise. And if I were you, not to take it too personal, if I'm Jalen Green, though, I'd probably feel somewhat offended that another guy was a later pick and came in and, I guess, kind of stole
Took your spot. Yeah, 100%.
Like, then now I'm a tradable asset if I'm Jalen Green. I know that I could be moved if I don't get my shit together. Now, not trying to put a wedge into those teammates, I think, obviously, they could coexist 100%. But Jalen Green has definitely been on a tear. Like, it's kind of crazy to see what he's amounting to now with Şengün being out, and also obviously everything off the court with him having a baby with an older woman and all this other stuff. So everybody's crediting his strong play to taking care of his family and stuff. So
is it coincidental? Maybe. But hey, he needs – hey, I mean, when you're having a kid with someone almost twice your age, he's working towards that next paycheck. That's
Hey now.
That's for sure. Hey now. But anyway, so kind of talking about the Rockets, you were kind of saying like the last the playoff teams they have coming up on their schedule and stuff. I mean, hey man, the Warriors, that's a massive game right there. The Mavericks, the Mavericks are a better team, obviously, but they're only seven and a half games ahead of them. So those are winnable games. Oklahoma, Minnesota, now that Cat's out, maybe it's a little
vulnerable.
And OKC, that's going to be a tough game, but who knows? It's any given night in the NBA. I think there's a realistic chance that it could happen. It would be absolutely bonkers if they did, because
it'd be nuts.
I mean, we had a podcast episode where the title of it was how the Western Conference play-in is going to be legendary because of Luka, KD, LeBron, and Steph Curry. It might become more legendary adding Jalen Green to the mix here. and Ime Udoka is going to be making his play-in debut. But yeah, I think it's cool. I think they're going to make the play-in? I don't know. You know, obviously, you can get hot at times, and you can get really cold at times, too. I like the competition. I like that it's close. So it's like, you know, it's going to be very close towards the end of the season. These last few games are really going to count. But I don't know if they'll make the play-in. We'll see about that.
But you see, the reason why I'm so torn about this, while I am not 100% sure why I could just write them off, it's because Golden State's not really the most consistent team either. And obviously, neither are the Lakers. Like, all three of those teams have kind of, they've been fluctuating to like, hey, well, more so the Lakers and the Warriors. Hey, we look really good against the Phoenix Suns or against one of these other teams that are in playoff contention. They bring their A game. Then they play Washington the next night, with all due respect, one of the worst teams in the league, right? And then all of a sudden, it's an overtime game, or they lost by 2 points to one of the worst offenses in the league. Right. So obviously, both the Lakers and the Warriors have some soul searching to do, where I'm not entirely too sure they're going to show up for the next 15 games that they might have on their schedule. Are they going to be able to get over the hump? Are they going to be able to win? Like, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Shout out to them. That's definitely a game you're supposed to win.
Right.
But in the first half, it was chippy, and it was actually kind of close. So I don't know how set in stone, I guess, this stuff is. In all honesty, it's not. It's like we're writing in pencil right now, not pen, because it's impossible to actually look at the bottom of the standings and pencil teams into these spots or pen these teams into these spots. It's, but we did have this conversation not too long ago, so I'm not going to harp on it too much, but it is pandemonium right now, and I love it.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in, checking out episode 30. If you're an audio listener, like I said earlier, please make sure to give us a 5-star review, all that good stuff. It helps us out a lot. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe. If you aren't already, check out all the gamified content on the shorts section. Follow us on our social medias. Everything's on the screen, in the bio, all that good stuff. And until next week, enjoy March Madness.
Good luck. I know your shit's going to bust. Later.